Have you ever thought about why kids want to be picked up after they have a bonk? Like my little 2-year-old daughter, when she falls over, stubs her toe, whatever, like she wants to be picked up. And if you think about it, what is that about? You can say it's comfort, she's being comforted, but that's not quite, it's not exact enough. And I was thinking about this, and I might not be accurate, but it seems accurate to me is that when you stub your toe when you're 2 years old, it feels like the whole world is suffering. Like that pain is everything there is. But to be picked up by an adult who's, 4, 5, 6 times your size and can literally almost wrap you up in their arms. And that adult is not perturbed by your suffering, it's not threatened by your suffering. It is a non-suffering being that you're wrapped up in. It's like, I think that's it. I think it's, we want a place to put our suffering, something non-suffering to hold our suffering. And then I was thinking, that seems like that's probably a big part of what makes, that's probably one of the parts of what makes the idea of God so attractive is God is this extremely large thing that is not threatened by our suffering, our worries, our inadequacies. It's not perturbed. It can hold. It's a big enough thing to hold our suffering in its non-sufferingness. So I was picturing that same thing. And then, of course, for somebody like me, who didn't grow up religious, doesn't really take any comfort in the idea of a God, doesn't believe in it. And I don't have, and I'm now 6 foot, 6 foot, 215 pounds, and nobody's picking me up and wrapping me in their arms. So where do I get to place my suffering if I'm stressed out, having a bad day, if I'm in physical pain, if I literally did bonk my toe, maybe like my daughter did? And so I was thinking, what I always come back to for me, not always, but often, is contextualizing my whatever's going on for me in some larger context. So like simplest common way in not at all unique to me is if you look at my life in the context of the cosmos, the physical space of it. I mean, obviously it's minuscule, right? Even in the context of the earth, it's minuscule. Even in the context of just humans on the earth, it's minuscule. And the universe is not perturbed by my suffering. It's not threatened by it. It's not scared of it. It's a place that context, that largeness is a place I can put my suffering and be wrapped up in non-suffering because the universe is not suffering. And then I was thinking, but that's not the only way you could do it because you could actually think of it the other way too is the larger scales are very comforting to me, but also think about the small scales. So like you, instead of looking up and seeing the stars and trying to find that comfort, that place to put your suffering, think about looking down at the grass and looking as closely as you can. And then at that blade of grass, there's cells inside that. And you can kind of see the outlines of the cells maybe. And then inside the cells are, the organelles of the plant cells. And obviously I'm not seeing that, but I can, in my mind's eye, I can see that. And that goes all the way down to the atoms within that and the subatomic particles within that. And none of that scale, that smaller scale, is perturbed by my suffering either. It's not threatened by it. And so I came up with this idea of an okayness sandwich, I call it. There's okayness on a scale bigger than us. There's an okayness on a scale smaller than us. And so I'm wrapped up in this okayness sandwich. And then I was like, okay, but you can also use this same idea in a temporal sense. That was the spatial sense in a temporal sense. And there's many ways you could come at this, but this day could be contextualized in this bad day I'm having, or this moment, bad moment I'm having could be contextualized within the context of a larger day. This bad day I'm having could be contextualized in the context of a larger life that's non-suffering. And even more powerfully, of course, we can contextualize ourselves again in the context of the universe where in a billion years, the sun will burn the earth to a crisp as it, expands into a red giant. And all the matter and energy have been inside of me, that I am, has been around for 13 billion years, if not more. and will continue to be in, again, that large spatial scale on which the things are existing, is nothing about that scale is perturbed by my suffering. It's a place that can hold my suffering completely. And then, again, going on to the small, say I'm having a bad day, I'm stressed out. Can I go down to one moment where in this moment, there's okay. And this moment is handleable. This moment is not suffering. It's like the suffering exists on that medium scale, that medium spatial, medium temporal scale, where you can string together some narrative storyline. And suffering doesn't always need narrative, but it really, narrative often is the backbone of suffering. And when you just get down to 1 second at a time, you take away that ability to do that narrative thing that makes suffering so much more powerful. Like, oh, I'm a bad person and this is going to last forever. This stress I'm feeling is going to last forever. And the stress is the whole temporal scale of the universe. And again, we can find that okayness sandwich in that little moment where we can just stop. Feel that one moment. And then we can also contemplate, oh, the universe has been doing things for billions of years. Billions to be. And the suffering of this moment or this day doesn't bother the universe. Anyway, the okayness sandwich. Just a thought I was having about how us secular people who are no longer toddlers can find ways to contextualize our suffering and get that comfort of being wrapped up in non-sufferingness. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. And as always, if you have any guest suggestions or thoughts on anything I've been sharing or our guests have been sharing, do hit me up at happywhencurious@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week on Happy When Curious.